Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees, they are quenched with the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. The Lord has thrust toward me, Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. And what a mighty God we serve. We know that angels bow before him, and heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. And we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and that the righteous run into it, and they are saved. And this time we must simply say, oh, what a fellowship. Oh, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm, safe and secure from all alone. For we know that our God is an awesome God. Our God is a great God. He rules from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. And I've read for you your soul's inspiration and your spiritual edification, the 118th degree of Psalms. As David is saying, give thanks unto the Lord, because God has already mastered his plan. He has engineered that design of excellence that's going to cultivate, motivate, and elevate your life and your lifestyle. You'll look back and say, Lord, how did I make it over that challenge? Lord, how was it that I got the victory? How was it that the miracles were made manifest in an hour that I just thought everything was down for the count? How in the world did I receive this great level of prosperity? How did I finally set hands upon that financial breakthrough that you told me I would receive? Because of the mighty God we serve. He said that heaven and earth would pass away, but not one word be changed. That's right. He said his word would not return unto him void, but accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And when God speaks to you, as he speaks to me through the power of the Holy Spirit, he cannot change, cancel, or rearrange. And there's nothing that the enemy can do about what God has given unto us. That's right, that financial breakthrough, there's nothing the enemy can do about it. That miraculous intervention, there's nothing that the enemy can do about it. That divine aspect and point of deliverance, there's nothing that the enemy can do about it. God just said, open up and trust me. He said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put our trust in princes. That's right. We know that God is the sovereign power that rules the universe, that rules the very hearts, minds, and very deeds of his children. And let me tell you something today. I just feel within my spirit that there are miracles that are being made manifest. That's right. There are miracles that are being created with our names on them. That's right. And that breakthrough is going to come, whether it's through the mailbox, whether it's through the phone, whether it's through a person-to-person contact. That miracle is on the way. Amen. And thank God for the blood of Jesus that atones us so we can rightfully so receive the very blessings of God as though they were just intended with our names and our initials engraved upon each of them. That's right. It's not about a feel-good gospel. It's about the real good gospel. Amen. Did you hear what I said? It's not about the feel-good gospel. It's about the real deal gospel. And which God promised us that if we walk before him and that we would worship him and put him first, that he said whatever we ask, he would give it unto us. That's right. It's no magic elixir. There's no special incantation or prayer. It's just that God watches over his word to perform it. That's why he watches over his word to make sure that it manifests in the hearts and in the lives of those who are called by his name, those who trust in his power, and those who walk in a path of obedience. And even so, sometimes we become disobedient. We become lackluster. We lose some of our glow, some of our shine, and we become denigrated within the span, the abyss of human emotions. God forgives us because he knows that we are all so human. That's right. And as the scripture says, that the Spirit of God doth not always strive with man, for that man is also flesh. So God knows this, and he gives us what's called his grace. His grace is that extra-sensual cushion. That's right. That gives us additional leverage when we're not quite as balanced and harmonious and ubiquitous as we ought to be. And this is what God does because he loves us so. He wants the best for us. He wants us to have the best, to maintain the best, because his namesake is on the line. And people are going to look at the reality of God in existence when they look at us. That's right. God's children are to be up and continuously be up. Not to say we're not going to be challenged here and there. That's right. But when men are casted down, they need to look at us and say that there is lifting up. Because why? We hold up the standard of what God has required for his people to maintain on a perpetual basis. We know that we're not perfect. That's right. We are imperfect beings that desire the presence of a perfect and almighty God. And this is what the manna broadcast is all about, to give you the finest, the most eloquent word of God for this day, this time, this era, and for this generation. That's right. Miracle manna is what we're talking about. And when you think about the children of Israel, when they were in the land of Egypt, and how they went about and they needed to have their nutritional needs met. God knows we have to eat. He knows we have to have hygienic provisions. He knows we have to have an abode, a place to live and call our habitat, whether it's a home, whether it's a palace, whether it's an apartment, a studio complex. It doesn't matter because God provides us the resources to maintain the integrity of where we live. We have to have shelter, a place to live and call our own. We have to have biological necessities and provisions, food and utilities, things that are considered the bare necessities of life. And even in his infinite mercy, God, hallelujah, even allows us the existential capacity to have even some of the things we want. But we need to take it back to God and to give him the glory for all that we have. That's right, because you could maintain financial wealth and prosperity, but you have to keep God first. Because what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It profits him nothing. Why? Because it's appointed unto a man once to live, and after death cometh the judgment. Death is not a scary thing when you are a child of God. It's not only but a sleep phase when we wake up to the consciousness of the Almighty Creator. That's right. And we abide with him. That's right. That soul is into reserve. The soul is the imprint of the way that we live, of who whom we are. That imprint is placed into reserve. And either you're in paradise or you're in Hades. That's right. And the spirit, which is the breath, the inspiration that quickens you, goes back to God the Creator. So many say, well, how do you know that the spirit goes back? Because you ever know the spirit is invisible. It is invisible to the naked eye, but it's the breath. The only way you can see your breath is when you're in Arctic-type temperatures. That's right. But nevertheless, you know you have it. Your breath is your spirit. Your spirit is what executes the capacity of your cerebral functions. Your cerebral functions reflects the mind. The mind reflects the thought process. The thought process reflects one's capacity to do and to gain and maintain harmonious balance and equilibrium. That's right. And the soul, which is the imprinting of your being, is encased within the heart. That's right. The out of the abundance of the heart, out of your soul, your belly. That's right. Your soul is like the belly of your spirit being. That's right. Where your human spirit connects with the Holy Spirit, and it produces a certain design. It produces a certain charismatic level of operation. And this is what defines us. And that soul is important because it's connected to the heart. The heart is connected to the affections. That's right. Whatever your affections become within your heart, it will reflect in your thoughts, your mind, the concepts, and your logic, your way of operative. All of these organs connect together. God purposed us and designed us for greatness, and he's destined us to excellence. He has also designed us to excellence and has empowered us unto greatness according to the power of his presence in your life and in my life. So we thank God for you today on this wonderful day. It is Thursday, August 22nd, 2019, another day that the Lord has made in which we should rejoice and be glad in it, because we have the word and we're waiting on those praise reports. That's right, those praise reports that are going to come in, that are going to take manifest within the next 24 hours. And just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together as a unit of one to worship you, to acknowledge you, to speak your word, to do your will, your way, so that you will be glorified. And we're asking that you bless our instruction today, bless our prayer today. Touch that man, touch that woman who's seeking to find a way out and there seems to be no way out. We're asking that you be Jehovah Jireh and make the way. The Lord our God, our provider. Father God, today to those who are caring about conditions, diseases and plagues and certain elements in the body that is causing an uneasiness in the capacity to function well. We ask that you be Jehovah Rapha, that healer. That's right. Oh, thank you, Father God. And to those who seek your face and desire your presence and who are hungry for your presence, we ask that you become the very essence of Jehovah Tetzanu. Be their righteousness. That's right. Be Jehovah Nissi, their banner in which they're covered. Oh, yes, and we thank you, Father God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is our Savior, who is our Redeemer, who is our pathway back to you, Heavenly Father. He is our mediator, our high priest. He is our all in all. He is our mighty God, because he leads us back to you. And we bless you and we bless his name. We thank you and we praise his name. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Just thank God to those of you who have tuned in to this hour of power and inspiration through divine breakthrough of Miracle Manna, heard on all continents around the world through the very venues, the byways of the Blog Talk Radio Network. And I'm just thanking God today for just being God, and beside him, there being none other. And we just thank you for just being a part of our extended family as we are going and we're growing, we're progressing. We're going to be defined as a new age movement. That's right. We're not imposing upon the ethics of this society and this cosmopolitan formulation of worship. We're back to old-fashioned worship where God is truly getting the glory with all of the technological provisions that are so well influencing the way people worship today. We've got to go back to the base level ground ethics where God requires our focus, our attention, our desires, and our affections so that he can get the glory. So Jesus would have performed even greater miracles had those men been obedient. That's right. Had they believed, there would not have been a person that was inoperative in that population, in that multitude. So those who reached out and knew that who he was and who his power came from, they received the breakthrough. They received the miracles. They received the wholesomeness. They received the redemption. They received the fulfillment of the promise because they believed. See, fear causes torment. Fear causes us to step out of God and to step into self, to start getting to the point of just simply not believing anymore. We become encased within a spirit of self-destruction. This is why it's so important that you have tuned in, because there's someone out in listening mind. You need this word to fulfill the very destiny of God in your life, so that the manifestation of your miracle comes to pass. And you know whom it is that you are. And God knows who you are. And you tune in to listen, because you had it with all these performance presentations. You've had it with all these common night types of worshiping venues where they're exalting a man, exalting a woman, and have taken their eyes off God, who is to be the center of our worship and of our affection. You're tired of things as the way that they were. You're ready to tune in so you can be elevated, so that you can be on the reciprocating end of God's majestic greatness in your life. But you've tuned in to the right place and the right time. That's why you've tuned in. And let me tell you something. God watches over his word to perform it. So anything that we're speaking today, we know that the power of God resonates within it. We know that his anointing is here because we feel the presence of his spirit with us. And we just thank God for just being that presence with us. Oh, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. And it let everything that had breath, everything that had breath, praise the Lord, praise him. Praise him for his greatness. Praise him for his goodness. Praise him for all that he is. Amen. And we thank God for his word, for his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we're glorifying his name today. Let us go to the first book of Corinthians into the 13th chapter. And we want to talk about this hooked on a thing called love. This is why things have become so stagnant within the religious community. They say, I want to say within the professing Christian community. Let me say that. Because the love factor has changed. The mannerism in which people say that they love and prove love is not balancing out, and God is not getting the glory. And that's why the miracles are not being made manifest. And this is why we're not seeing the very workings of the miracles of God because of this. See, love is a many-splendored thing. And true love conquers all. And we're seeing that there's a lacklusterness of love within the body of professing Christians. We know in the body of Christ, that church is perfect. But we are to emulate or to duplicate what is in the church of Jesus Christ, the true church. We are to be the ambassadors of his word, his will and his way. And this is what has happened. We've fallen in our love life. And here the first book, the 13th chapter of Corinthians says, though I speak, here's Apostle Paul speaking, with the tongues of men. That means even though I have eloquence of speech and of angels, that means to just be able to charismatically so motivate people and elevate them into a mindset of charismatic behavior where it's so impressive that they're touched. He said, and have not charity. Charity is another word for love. But see, charity is love in motion. See, I can have love for you and don't show you or give it to you. It is null and void. I'm just speaking something that I have not proven. That's like even in a court of law, if you said that you saw a man rob a bank, he had on the same clothes that was despised, they will say, well, where is your proof? Where is your evidence? Was he at that location at the time? Did this man fit the physical apparatus of the suspect? Did you see him fleeing with anything? Well, I don't think so. No, to think so is not going to cut it. You got to provide valid evidence, specific evidence. And charity is a specific element of love. It shows love. It doesn't talk love. It does love. And this is where the professing Christians, many have fallen off. They serve man, but they don't serve one another. They will give to those who already have to gain momentum and name recognition. But they don't give to those who are in necessity because they don't feel as though that they should, because it's not going to get them anywhere. But see, God is watching. Jesus told us that do your alms in secret, and he that seeth you will reward you publicly. This is where we've fallen off. We've lost the love. That's right. We're supposed to be hooked on this thing called love. He says, I am as a sounding brass. I mean, making a lot of noise or a tinkling cymbal. You got a lot of orchestrated manifestations going on here. A lot of loud talking, a lot of loud doing. People are shouting the building sound and screaming and yelling, doing all that. But where is the love? Are you hooked on a thing called love? That's right. Let me tell you, here's the scripture that's going to describe to us what true love, what charity, love in motion, love in manifestation looks like. Now, it's not enough to say, I love the pastor, I love his wife, I'm going to give them this. Okay, that's servitude to man. Okay, fine. But how is your love life? Are you hooked on a thing called love when you know that there's a woman in the congregation who needs financial support? Are you going to go and shake her hand and put something in her hand? Are you going to go and offer your service to assist her? What about that woman who has children, who may not have a spouse, or for some reason is not with that person, and you know she has necessity? Are you willing to say that you're going to sacrifice and go to her and be a blessing? This is what people who are truly are Christians do. This is the behavior. This charitable act is what gets the focus of God up and going. And though I have the gift of prophecy, that means the ability to translate the word of God and to speak things into existence. That's prophecy. And understood all mysteries. That means the very elementation people say, that's a mystery. And understood it through divine revelation. Those gifts are wonderful. These are spiritual gifts. Do you not know that charity is what helps to fuel spiritual gifts to that extrasensual level where miraculous interventions occur? And all knowledge, that means know, and able to translate what you know into verbal presentation and written documentation to edify others. Those are wonderful things. Those are gifts. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, could you imagine what that would be like to have all the faith that you could remove a mountain? That's wonderful. This is what God wants us to do. And have not charity, I don't have love in motion, I don't exonerate love and implementate love in motion, he says, I am nothing. We're nothing. If we're not following the guidelines of what Apostle Paul is speaking, We're not doing anything. God is not impressed with us. He is not at all impressed with us. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Even in our giving and our doing to help others, and I don't have the love in motion, the compassion, the wherewithal to be able to relate to others and connect with others, he says, that means nothing. Because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. What does charity do? Love and motion do? Fourth verse says, charity suffers wrong and is kind. That means charity puts up with a lot of things. Love and motion tolerates sometimes people don't speak to you. Charity, love and motion sometimes puts up with the attitudes of people. Charity, love and motion is forgiving, is consistent, is contingent. And remains kind. Doesn't get aggressive. Oh, when the moment I see him, I'm going to tell him off. No. Charity says, he's human. And I understand the human equation that the Spirit of God doesn't always strive with us or needs overtake us or deal with us in an existential manner. And sometimes we act out and speak out in the flesh. So I understand. So that's what charity does. Charity looks for a reason to excuse the infamous behaviors of others, and even the unkind words of others. It says, it envieth not. That means you get blessed and prosperous. You get your financial breakthrough. Here I prayed with you and hoped with God for you. I don't see nothing because, it should have been me. Remember when I set up and I prayed for her, and then how come God gave it to her, not to me? In due season. In due season. Sometimes we wonder why things don't come right then and there. God said in the season, I want to teach you something before I prospered you. I wanted to show you something before I gave you this wealth. I wanted to instruct you in a manner so that you wouldn't go out there and become a fatal mistake, or you wouldn't make a fatal mistake. So sometimes God has to break us down, chasten us down, before he blesses us and elevates us. And charity does not become envious of that. Charity vaunteth not itself. That means to try to show out, to be seen, to be recognized. See, the scripture tells us that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But see, charity says, nah, what God has given me, I'm blessed, let me be a blessing to others. It's not easily provoked. That means you're not ticking on, sitting on a ticking time bomb. Things don't go the way you want them to go. People act the way you want them to act. You just say, I'm done with them because they're not true Christians anyway. Well, no, we can earmark what's true Christianity and what isn't. We see the scriptures give us the rightful referendum to make those assessments. We don't judge. We just merely make the assessment. It thinketh now evil. That means I'm going to get back to him. Remember when you said you wouldn't go help me out? Well, I'm going to show you something. No, number one, God's hand delivered me, delivered you, and we should thank God for his infinite mercy in taking care of us. We should be grateful, and we should be humble, not look back, but look forward. We got to be hooked on this thing called love. Don't behave itself unseemly. That means not loud, trying to make a presentation where everybody can marvel at you. And Jesus told us. He says, if you do these things, if you give and you do just to be marveled of men, he said, you have your reward with men. What's better, the reward with God that's from everlasting to everlasting, will never one run out, that wheel of prosperity keeps turning and turning. The more that you do, the more God gives you. And trust me, the more God gives us, the more that we have to do. What's more substantial? What's more beneficial? I want to keep that prosperity. We'll keep coming and going, coming and coming and turning and turning. The more God blesses me, my pockets get fat, I'm able to bless other people and help other people. That's what I want. That is what I want from the Lord. So that I can validate his presence right here on the earth because people are looking for a living, vivid example. Does not behave itself unseemly. Does not seek her own. I, me, my, and mine. The three most prospective individuals that you consider. Charity, love and motion does not focus on self-centeredness, selfishness, and self-righteousness. Charity focuses on How can I help others, Lord? You've given me this so I can take care of what I need to do so that I make sure I set a good example because I represent your name. How can I help others? Charity always tries to find a way. How can I touch others with what you have given me, what you have prospered me with? It thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. I'm up and she's down. No. Charity, love in motion. When you hooked on this thing called love, it's not going to abide in iniquity. It's not going to talk about what happened 15 years ago, 5 days, 16 hours, 20 minutes, and 19 seconds ago. It lives for the moment and focuses on the here and the now. But it rejoices in the truth. That means what is factual, what is presented. It bears all things. Love and motion understands. It discombobulates misunderstanding. It believeth all things. That means trusting God, being full of his joy, his love, his kindness. Hopeth all things. I mean, being optimistic. Stop being a stick in the mud. Somebody says, oh, I'm getting ready to go to Bermuda. Oh, you're getting ready to go to Bermuda. Oh, my goodness, I hope you don't get caught up in a storm. That's not love in motion. That's being negative and putting out evil vibrations. You say, well, I hope that you enjoy your cruise to Bermuda. May you have a wonderful time. God be with you. And why? Because the Lord is everywhere. Why do we think that God is geographically limited? Okay? Some of us are so narrow-minded. We think God is culturally limited, and he is not. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, everywhere, all-knowing, all-seeing, and omnipresent at every place and every time. So he's a spirit. He's not encased in a physical body. See, the physical body is what limits us from being able to go about and move freely. Here he says, but for we know it shall vanish away. All these things, charity never fails. He said, will there be prophecies? They shall fail. Some things, God are conditional, but things change. God can change anything. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Your tongue is not going to produce words of wisdom all the time. You're not going to be able to speak words of edification all the time. When you're asleep, can you speak when you sleep? Some of us talk in our sleep, maybe. There may be instances where your tongue has to rest. And so your tongue ceases. Something ceases. It means it stops for that moment. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Because what's